organs crushed after the gravity compensation failed. Patel had been an okay guy. Marcus had often worked with him. The other dead man sat a short distance away. His head was bent unnaturally to one side. Marcus didn't want to look. He didn't know him. No one seemed to know him, or at least no one was looking at him. That's how it was in defeat. Five refugees from other ships in the defeated fleet sat in the corridor with him. Hopeless figures, overcome with fear, rescued from escape pods. An arm in a makeshift splint, two skulls wrapped in pressure bandages. One man coughing constantly. A little too often, and too violently for Marcus's taste. The cruiser's infirmary was overcrowded. The technician didn't even want to think about what was happening in there. The full complement of the Proxima crew was 146. Now, there were perhaps four times as many on board, most of them in a miserable state, both inside and out, physically and mentally. Not that Marcus felt great, but that's just how it was in defeat. Especially when defeat dragged on for days, and especially when precipitated by betrayal. Space battles were not spectacular or heroic. They were seemingly endless episodes of spaceships flying in continuous loops, briefly coming into contact and attacking each other before the laws of physics parted them again. By all accounts, things were hectic and tense on the bridge. But here, in the belly of the ship, there was ample time to mourn the dead, tend to the injured, and repair what they could, all with a growing fear of their next encounter. Marcus was terrified. The fear lay deep in his gut and ate away at his innards. It fused with his anger at the other crews, who had turned on their comrades at the critical moment, dealing the death blow to the Republic fleet. He looked into Patel's dead eyes and saw no more fear there. Marcus was almost envious. Suddenly, something caught his attention. He looked up in alarm, recognizing it immediately. A module floated slowly through the air. It was spherical, about 20 centimeters in diameter. An emergency battery, prepped for combat, fully charged. And its contact surface was glowing. At some point, it had been cast adrift and was now gliding down the corridor. Not good. Marcus's eyes followed the trajectory. The torn innards of conduits, exposed by a cascade explosion, were strewn along its path. Damage that Marcus had been trying to repair when they'd received the order for the re-acceleration phase. He had pinned himself to the wall to avoid ending up like Patel. No one had managed to secure the battery. It was going to land right in the exposed wiring harness. That would end badly. Marcus's gaze shifted to the flat, flexible screen pad wrapped around his forearm. "Emergency closure," the warning read. There were no accompanying orders. That meant that at any moment, someone higher in the chain of command might engage the engine so the old girl could make another attempt to exit the carnage of the battle they had lost so spectacularly. They were being pursued. There was no other explanation. But the module. No one was anywhere near its trajectory, and only Marcus knew his way around a battery. He pressed a finger on the soft, flexible surface of the screen pad. A face appeared, adorned with a bloody gash covered in med-gel foam. Ludmilla Kamp was Specialist First Class. She had been in charge of the internal maintenance team ever since the officers in her section were wiped out by one of the strikes, as Chief Engineer Thompson was busy repairing the hypercoil. She didn't look too well.